This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back. How do we empower children so that they can go out and be whatever they want to be without compromising their identities and maintain their vibrant personalities despite all that's going on in the world today? We asked Ustaza Zohra Servari these very questions at our visit at the Being Me conference. Ustaza Zohra is a Muslim author, business coach, entrepreneur, and an international speaker living in Sacramento, USA. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology and business administration and is currently pursuing a master's in Islamic studies. She has also homeschooled her four children. Let's hear what she has to say about raising resilient children. Welcome to the show, Zohra.
JazakAllah khairan. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, you deal with a lot of educational related issues. You homeschool, you've homeschooled your children as well. How has the political, social climate that we're living in today impacted your ability to be able to do that? And how has it, I guess, changed in some ways as well, right?
Absolutely. I think seeing what's out there, seeing the options we have, and seeing the issues we have in the school systems has really made me take the direction of homeschooling, because of not only the bullying, but the hatred, the Islamophobia, the hijab pulling, and lots of issues I don't think kids need to deal with at their age, have made me give them, where their goal should be education, has made me decide to homeschool and give them a safe haven where they're learning, they're growing, they're changing, building their self-confidence to be able to be the best humans they can be. And that was one of the biggest reasons I decided to homeschool.
Now, I know someone like you, you know, you have the ability and you're able to homeschool, but a lot of parents aren't able to do that. So I want to walk through some of the issues that you talked about. The first one being, what are some strategies that we can give, that parents can give, rather, for kids to develop a strong Islamic identity in light of issues like Islamophobia, which is also evident? You know, we have the same issues here in Canada.
That self-confidence, that self-esteem we can give as Muslims is the foundation of them dealing with every problem that is going to come at them, whether that's bullying, whether that's, you know, peer pressure, alcohol, I mean, anything that can come to our kids. So for me, the way I look at it is the more knowledge they have of the faith of Islam, the more knowledge they have, and the more they understand the lives of the messengers of Allah, peace and blessings be upon them, and the Sahaba, the companions of the prophets, peace and blessings be upon them, the more they can see not only their struggles and what the some of the stuff they went through, but the more they can see, wait a second, subhanAllah, they've been through some of this already, so I can handle this as well, inshallah.
What are some examples of that?
So, really honestly, I'd say one of the best examples would be, you know, when, you know, right now, I guess a lot of families have divorce that happened between them. Yeah. And so the parents get separated and, you know, the kids are in two different homes and stuff. And a lot of kids feel like that is a lot of stress. And so it comes back down to when they look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and they realize that his father died when he wasn't even born. His mother died when he was 6 years old, subhanAllah. And so he had so many people raising him, you know, from his grandfather. And then his grandfather passed away. And then his uncle raised him. So from all these things taking place, yet, mashallah, he was resilient and strong. And, you know, it's just an excuse of what we're going through. And when they can see all of this happening, then, subhanAllah, they have a different view of like, oh, it could always be worse. And that's something we always say in my house, it can always be worse, you know. You always look at your situation and it can always be worse. And then again, even, you know, taking verses from the Quran and saying, you know, there's a verse obviously in chapter number 14, Surah Ibrahim, where Allah, God the greatest, says that if you are grateful, I'll give you more. And reminding ourselves of many of these things that we don't do. And so, you know, are we just being complaining and negative, or, you know, but again, those identity, or seeing Ayub alayhi salam, you know, job, peace be upon him. But with him, you know, all the illnesses he went through, losing all his money. So when our kids see, maybe they're going through that, maybe their family just lost their family business, you know, they're in bankruptcy and they don't have certain things, but, and they get sick, maybe their kids have cancer or something. They know that, look at, this is how the messenger of God, peace and blessing, dealt with upon it. So how can I deal with it? So these are all examples of, you know, the difficulties, or, you know, Jesus, peace be upon him, all of the issues that he dealt with. I mean, it was very difficult. Or his mother Mary, peace be upon her, all the issues she dealt with as a single mother, you know, and not having even been with a man. And so it's so many things that we can learn from all these stories that build our self-esteem, our confidence. So when the difficulties arise and they come at us, we're not at loss for like, oh, what should I do? I'm depressed. I don't know. We stand back up and say, well, this is how they dealt with it. This is how we need to deal with it.
So when you talk about building that foundation, right? So yes. Take an example of a child goes to a public school. You know, they deal with these issues. What's the way to build this foundation? Is it sending them, because I, you know, my husband is a teacher and he tells me a lot about the kids that they go to Islamic school. Mm. And so the parents think, okay, they're getting everything there. Or like, you know, kids in public schools, I have friends who used to go to Sunday Islamic school and they don't really have that foundation. So how do you build that foundation?
This is when the parents really need to get focused and get involved in their kids' life. The parents need to, you know, take time every day, every single day. If I can give any advice to all the parents, that you need 20 minutes a day to sit with your kids and do this, whether that's reading these stories with them and talking it over and helping each other understand it, getting the lessons out of it, whether it's taking them out. I mean, we need a lot more family time because, you know, as sister said earlier, you know, the kids are stuck on gadgets. And I'll be honest with you, my kids don't have gadgets. They don't have phones. My oldest, who's 17 and she's in her third year of university, mashallah tabarakallah, she has a tablet which she uses for her studying and stuff. But my boys both got tablets as gifts, as you know, because one did a competition for the Quran memorization and he got one, and one got it for something else. And I don't give it to them. And they're like, well, Mom, when do you think I'll get it? I say, when you become mature. And they said, when do you think that is? I said, well, according to American statistics, it's 41 years old. But I'll wait till maybe 18 or 19.
That's fair.
So they don't have a, we don't have a TV in the house. They don't have an Xbox. Really, it's, I want them to be outside. I want them to be playing. I want them to enjoy life and not just addicted to tablets and phones and, you know, computers. I mean, they do use computers for their studying. But beyond that, it's, you don't, you know.
So how do you get away from that? So you have a family situation where, mashallah, you know, you've been able to do that. But I know a lot of young moms as well and parents.
Yeah.
Who it's come to a point where kids are addicted to their phones. And I think I would say even adults sometimes, right?
Yeah.
How do you break away from that cycle to rebuild a strong identity?
Make a time at night, let's say 7 to 7.30. 7 to 7.30, all of us, daddy, mommy, all of whoever has it, all of us are going to put it all in a room. No one's going to look at theirs, close the door, and everyone's going to have family time. And we're going to, in that 30 minutes, we're going to read this book and we're going to discuss it. And I'm going to listen to all of your perspectives. So one person may have one idea, another may have another may get another. And it'll be amazing what the parents will learn from the children at that time, inshallah. And it'll be amazing what the kids will learn from the parents because there'll be different perspectives and different generations. But making that time, including the parents, I always say lead by example. So if I'm going to tell my child to memorize the Quran, inshallah, I better be memorizing it as well. If I'm going to tell my child it's time to pray, then I better be ready for salah and we better do it in congregation. So all of this is very important as a family. We need to have that time where we connect and we need to lead by example. So if I'm going to tell them no phone time or no game time, then why am I on it? So, yeah. And I tell this to my kids all the time, like, you know, these things are a waste of time when you're playing games all day. You know, I don't know all the games they have, but on my phone, there is no games. There is no games. And because I don't agree with anyone, I'm not going to sit and waste my time and play games. If I have a few minutes, it's either my Quran or my adhkars or something important. And I teach that all the time. So what we do with our time is valuable. And I think if we led by that example, inshallah, then again, our kids aren't always listening to us, but they're watching us. A lot of times we're sitting there telling them, but we're not doing it. We need to become the examples of doing it and don't say it so much. We don't need to tell them. Just do it. And they're going to learn from that as well, inshallah.
I think you've given us some good foundations. How do we deal with issues, for example, like cyberbullying or bullying that, you know, kids are experiencing? And cyberbullying is a new area, right?
Big time.
How do you deal with that?
First of all, I don't think kids should be on social media the way they are. I really don't. I don't think they're ready for it. They're not mentally mature. They're not physically mature. They're not. There's a lot of garbage that goes on. I think limiting their time on that would be great. That would be my best thing for cyberbullying. They don't need to, because if they're not on it, they're not going to get bullied. Number one, get rid of that stuff as much as you can. Number two is, you know, as far as bullying itself goes, if they have their self-esteem, their confidence, and their awareness, then subhanAllah, you know, they need to be able to have that relationship with their parents that they come and tell them, I'm being bullied. And if that's the case, then obviously that they need to address that with the school. And a lot of times you may need to relocate your child to another school, to a better area, if that needs to be, because bullying has become a big issue, including cyberbullying, where kids are now committing suicide by the masses. It's not a joke anymore. I get messages from kids who want to commit suicide, Muslim kids, all the time. On Facebook, I'll get, you know, people like, I'm 16, I'm at the end of my rope, I have nothing to live for, I'm going to commit suicide. And I'm like, are you like playing a prank on me? Are you serious? Like, you know, at that moment, I don't know what to expect. And so I'm trying to connect with these kids and I'm trying to talk to them on Skype because they're in different parts of the world. But when I get on that phone and they're crying to me and they need that help and family's not listening, then we've done something wrong. We've done something wrong. So I think that relationship that parents need to build is let the kids come to you with anything. I mean, so, whether that's, let's say, may Allah protect our kids, but let's say they're addicted to drugs or smoking or alcohol or whatever, they need to be able to come to mom and dad and say, I have a problem. You know, I have a problem and I need help. And mom and dad need to listen and be open-minded and help their child before their child do the worst, which is either commit suicide or even go farther than where they're at. Versus us closing them down, we need to open those doors, let them in, and let us help them, inshallah.
What would you say to someone? Because we talked about the importance of building a strong identity, and you said sometimes bullying is to the extreme,
yes,
that they should actually move. I'm not saying I don't agree
absolutely
with you, I'm just playing devil's advocate and asking you, what would you say to someone who says, yeah, well, isn't that them running away from the situation, and shouldn't we be leveraging a strong Islamic identity? What would you say to that?
Absolutely. If your child is strong enough and they have the confidence and the ability, don't run away from it. Let them be able to defend themselves and say it. But if they're not and they're weak and it's hurting them more and it's going to affect them more emotion, they can't handle it, then you have to change the situation.
There's obviously much more we can talk about, but I'm going to save our discussion for another segment. Thank you so much, Zahra.
Jazakallah khair.
Hey YouTube, we hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.